Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. Join Dave and his guests now as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles and New York, a big LA and Big Apple, welcome to all of my people in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, CaregiverDave.com, coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on 15 global audio and video platforms, including iTunes and YouTube and Spreaker and SoundCloud and a ton more. And also at CaregiverDave.com, voted number two podcast out of the top six for best podcast of 2017. And we have an exciting interview planned for you today with my lovely co-host and founder of the Caregiver Space, Adrian Gruberg. Say hello, Adrian.
Hello.
We will be interviewing former caregiver Katrina Garcia, who is CEO of her own company, KG Website Designs. And she's been in business for over 12 years. So before we get started, I want to take this moment to thank my last week's guest, Patty DeFelicis, a board-certified holistic nutritionist talking about caregivers' health and nutrition. And it was during that interview that I found out that I probably have leaky gut. Isn't that terrible? And she's going to fix me up. So if you find out that you have leaky gut, I'll hook you up. So you can watch or listen to that interview and all our interviews on our membership website, caregiverdave.com, or any of the many other networks that I mentioned earlier, iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, etc. All right, enough of that. Katrina Garcia is the CEO founder of KG Website Designs and has been a business owner for over 12 years, as I said. The first 5 years she worked to build her business, working to gain momentum in her field. However, shortly after her fifth year, she took in her mother to care for her when she was diagnosed with vascular dementia. Ouch. During this time, she worked her business and cared for her mother 24/7. I guess that means she never slept. As her mother's dementia increased, or should we say decreased, she found it challenging to build her business and began to lose herself a bit. And when her mother passed on October 19, 2005.
2015, 3 years ago.
Yes, thank you. You got that. She found that while she watched her mother go down the rabbit hole of dementia, she had lost her voice and herself. Not literally her voice. It literally took her 3 years to rebuild her confidence and pull herself back up to a mental state of strength. Now she wants to tell the story in hopes that it will help others gain their strength with the aftermath of dementia. So, Katrina, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And why don't you take a minute or two and introduce yourself? I like to say to my guests, just who is Katrina Garcia and why was she put on this earth?
That's a good question. I'm still trying to figure that out myself.
Well, maybe we can figure it out right here, right now.
Well, you kind of gave the intro, what I do and so forth. And
but we want to know the real story behind the story. You know.
Behind the story. Well, you really want to know all the dirty details, huh?
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I have to say, I know I learned a lot going through this very challenging time with my mom, not only for myself, but the systems that are out there that are lacking for people that don't have the funds. My mom was a single parent, and she worked two jobs her whole life. At one time, she even worked four jobs, and she's always put in the system since she was 14. But yet, when I tried to get her help by going through government and being on the phone for hours at a time, I was told she made $200 more than what they considered to be any help in regards to financial help. So we got none. And it was like paying two house payments to try and get the care to come in. So it just got to the point where my care was getting the care for my mom was increasing for me, and my business was slowly dying a slow and agonizing death because I didn't have the time. I was too busy caring for my mom and making sure things were taken care of. So it was a difficult time, and I think that's why I lost a lot of myself going through that.
This is your home-based business.
Yes, I'm a home-based business. I've been in business for 12 years, and it was frustrating for me because it was about 5.5 years into my business. It was just starting to take off. It was just starting to perpetuate. The money was starting to come in. The clients were starting to build and so on and so forth. And when my mom first came in, she was still okay for the first 3 years or so. She could still do things on her own. But then the last 2.5 years, mm-hmm. it just progressively really, as my care for her increased, my business decreased.
Right.
Which was
that is
really
such a common story. You know, so many people have had to quit their jobs or actually get fired because they were trying to do too much, and their minds weren't on their work when they were there. And many caregivers have decided, well, maybe I should start a business at home, you know,
well,
while grandma is sleeping, etc. So my question to you, it sounds like you didn't do too well running a business at home during the last 2.5 years when things got really, really bad.
Yeah.
But can you glean from that information and wisdom and say what might you have done differently, perhaps, during that same stressful time during those 2.5 years that would have made your business at least keep its head above water?
The only thing I could say is if I'd done more investigating in support groups earlier on as opposed to later on, I think that would have helped tremendously. I just didn't know they were out there until I had found out from somebody, a friend of a friend, so to speak. And there's really nothing out there that tells caregivers where to find support groups, where to find help, where to go. I looked high and low. I looked online. I looked everywhere, and I couldn't find anything. And I had to go to a source that was working with my mom. She was going to the senior care center, and that's who helped me get to those support groups and find out how we could get help. So if I had to do it over, I would definitely get the support groups in much quicker, much, much sooner, and then know that what my limitations were and notify my clients up front what was going on. I didn't want them to know because I didn't want them to think what they were dealing with. So I kept it to myself. I didn't want to be crying on their shoulder and telling them, oh, by the way, I'm doing this as well as doing this. So I kept it quiet. And that was hard to do.
That was very hard to do. I mean, it's better. I find that it's better to share that, not in great detail, but just, you know, to let them know that now your mother is living with you and that
perhaps
the business won't suffer. You'll be paying attention to them too. But the stress of keeping it to yourself is a real, real killer. Yeah.
That was the hardest part.
Yep.
So, you know, the business went down anyway because of what you did. So next time, hey, let's try being honest and share just a little bit, not too much, and see if they were thinking about leaving. Now, I can't leave her now because she needs me more than ever, and I'll just give her a little more grace. I remember when that happened to me. You know, that sounds like a better strategy. Great idea, Adrian. And I understand that you felt a little guilty, didn't you? Which is a common caregiver emotion. Each day when you were like praying that she would pass on so that this nightmare would end, that is so common also. And just let me assure you, there's nothing to feel guilty about by praying that. We've all done that. So tell us what you were going through as you were thinking. Then you were feeling guilty about feeling guilty, probably.
And how old was your mom?
My mother was very young. She died when she essentially passed away the morning after her 74th birthday.
All right, so she had sort of early onset dementia.
Yes. And she had diabetes and she had thyroid. She'd always had health issues in that respect. Mm. But when we And we didn't realize how long she'd even had this until we started going to support group and started, oh, well, there was this sign and there was this sign, but we didn't know. We had no idea. So as we started thinking back, we realized that she'd actually been going through this for 10 years before we even knew it was going on.
Wow. Yeah.
And, but I mean, the guilt on top of the guilt was just, I used to cry so much in the shower, I mean, I'd be a crying ball in the room when my husband would come home, and then he would be the second shift to take over. And it was just, I mean, I was constantly wishing and praying that she would just pass away tomorrow, so that way it would all end for all of us and she would be in a better place. And then you feel guilty because why would I do that? My mom's here and I should enjoy the time I have. And it's the best way I can describe it is, if you've ever seen the movie Benjamin Button, that's the best way I can describe dementia. It's literally like watching your parent go from adulthood down to a child. And that's essentially what it is. And disappearing before your eyes. And I think that was the hardest part for me, because my mom was always on top of things, always very creative in regards to, she had the best advice. And I was missing that because I didn't get that advice. She was my rock. And now I had to figure out, well, where am I going to go to get my advice? Where am I going to go to figure this out? I had nobody. And the hardest part, too, that I found out, which is very common, especially with families, that even with families that are large, they always point to one person. Oh, well, you can take care of them. Well, you can do it, or you're going to do it.
It's usually the daughter.
Yes.
A daughter.
I had a sister, but it was difficult for her to deal with. So her way of dealing with it was just distancing herself and not doing anything. And it was just, it was difficult to go through, because I was going through the frustration there. I was going through the guilt. I mean, that all these emotions. And as you're going through that, it feels like it's taken a little bit away from you each time, and you start to lose yourself. And that's what I found. I was losing myself.
Wow. No support groups? Did anybody tell you that you could be, you know, talking to support groups for your advice since your mother wasn't around?
That didn't happen until, I'd have to say, 3 or 4 years into it is when we started finding the support groups and realizing how long she'd been doing this and how long it'd been going down the road. And I mean, the doctor, of course, told us what she was going through, but it took us a little bit to find the support groups. Like I said, when she was going to the senior concerns, they were the ones that helped us find these support groups. And once we did and started attending, we started realizing, oh, wow. You know, and they have the do's and the don'ts list. Do this, don't do this. I was doing all the don'ts. I wasn't doing any of the do's.
Did you go to a dementia and Alzheimer's specific group, or just a caregiver group?
No, she just went to the caregivers, and she got to the point that...
No, you.
Oh, me. Oh, well, yeah. We went specific. It was, yes, specific for people that had dementia. So it was specific group that were caregivers. But what we found out of that group, which was interesting, is that myself and one other person in the group of about a dozen were the only ones caring for our loved ones at home. Everyone else had them in a home, and then they would go visit with them, and they had their own issues they had to deal with as well. And so if I had to do it again, I definitely would bring her back into the home and do that again, because of all the issues that they dealt with. At least we had more control of the situation in the house, and we knew that her care was going to be well done, as opposed to, you know, shipping her off to a home and then finding out this wasn't cared for, that wasn't done right. And 90%, and I found too, between 75 to 80% of the people that go off to homes, actually their lifespan even shortens quicker because they're off in a home as opposed to when they're with their families. So that was an interesting fact too, I did not know about.
What did you mean when you said your emotions feeling so small?
I just felt so powerless. Like I couldn't, there were certain things I could control, but a lot of things I couldn't control. And that was the hardest part for me, because I'm a control freak to a certain degree. And I like to have my environment to where I can control it. And I didn't feel like I could control my environment. And that was the hardest piece for me.
Yeah, the
Now,
struggle of
what
feeling. Go ahead, Adrian.
I just wanted to know, what year was it that you started looking for support groups online?
My mom moved in about, see, she died in 2015. She was with
Right.
us for 5.5 years. So she moved in about 2010, roughly around there. And we found out about the support groups about 3 years after she moved in with us because at that time her care wasn't that bad. We could see that she would have to say things 3 times before eventually she'd realize she'd repeated herself. We could see how her sentence structure wasn't as well as it used to be. And we could see that she was forgetting things frequently. And as that started to go downhill, we started realizing this is getting harder and harder and we're going to need help. And it was my husband too who said, "You're the one there that's 24/7 for the most part. You're not getting away from it." He was going to work and getting a chance to get away, and I wasn't getting that opportunity. So that's a part of it too, was going to the support group. So I had a way of sharing and getting just an opportunity to get away and have that opportunity to speak with other people that I could kind of connect with.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
Well,
there's
listen,
a.
this.
Go
Go
ahead.
ahead. No, you go.
No, I mean, dementia and Alzheimer's are the conditions that have the best support groups out there, both
Yeah.
face to face and online. There's so much money that's going to them. But you and I were experiencing the timing wise. I was looking for support groups when my husband was, diagnosed with cancer. A couple of years into it, when his mother, who was also suffering with cancer, moved in with us, that was when enough was enough, and I had to find support somewhere. And that led me to, after they passed, to form the caregiver space, because it was so hard at the time for me to find support online.
Yep. That was the hardest part. And even when I went to government facilities and tried to get help there, I don't know, there might be some in your area. Go online and check. And then everywhere you go online, it would point you to this avenue, and then it would point you to that avenue. And it was very frustrating. That's all I can say is I spent hours and hours on the phone and online and trying to figure this out and trying to figure that out until finally at Senior Concerns is where they gave me a name of a woman who's an advocate in our area and used to be a lawyer. And I just went and talked to her, and she just gave me mounds and mounds of information that I never even had an opportunity to get where I was. And that was the frustrating part. Even the websites were really hard to maneuver, and I'm someone who does websites. So if I can't maneuver them and I find them a little difficult to maneuver, especially when you're in a mindset like that, how's anybody else expected to do that? And that was a frustrating part I found as well.
And that takes a lot of time.
A lot of time and effort that you just
Don't
don't
have.
have. You just don't have.
Well, listen, let's take a break. So don't go away. We will be right back.
Welcome, caregivers. Thank you so much for finding your way to our community of loving and supportive caregivers. We as caregivers understand and know the day-to-day feelings of guilt, fear, and loneliness. But guess what? There is hope. I, Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, along with my team of experts and caring caregivers, have made this site just for you. We are a community of caregivers that understands and supports you wherever you are in your journey. We are a place to connect with other caregivers, but more importantly, a place to get practical, actionable help. There are lots of ways for you to get support. First of all, you can download our welcome pack. This will get you started on your Thrive journey. Next, you can ask and get answers to your questions by posting them here in our private Facebook groups. You can also get live online support by attending one of our live weekly Connect webinars. You can get practical, actionable advice by listening to our weekly podcast. You can hear and read other stories about other caregivers' experiences. Plus, add your own in our weekly Share Your Story forum. posted every Tuesday in the Facebook group, you can access essential resources and download practical Thrive Solutions Packs, all of which are geared to help you thrive as a caregiver. We know funds are tight, so we offer all of our individual Thrive Solutions Packs. Or for even a better deal, you can get lifetime access to all of our resources. Again, we're here to support you and help you thrive and to enjoy your life as a caregiver. And remember, this is a place to get hope, not just cope.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. Available everywhere.
And we're back with Adrienne Gruberg and Katrina Garcia. And I want you two to just talk amongst yourselves because I'm trying to get that Facebook Live meeting going with tech support on the other line. So let me just ask one other question to spur a conversation here. You told me that you had struggled so much because you were feeling so alone, even though you had the support of family and friends. And you would think that support of family and friends was very important. How were they not enough?
I'd have to say that it was a combination of a couple things. One is they seemed to be very judgmental. So when I talked to some of the family friends and I told them that we were going to put mom into hospice at that time, they were very upset because they thought that I was putting her in a home. But yet nobody offered to help. Nobody offered to lend a helping hand. It was always, they were the first ones to judge, the first ones to say, well, you're not doing this right, or you're not doing that right, or maybe you should do this, or maybe you should do that. And I think that was the most frustrating part. And I would find myself saying, okay, you come over here and see if you can do a better job, and then we'll talk about it, because nobody's helping me. And I think that was the most frustrating part when it came to family and friends, that, yeah, they were there, but they weren't there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, to me, it makes perfect sense. But I think one of the first lessons that I try to give caregivers at this point is that you need to know how to ask family and friends to help you, because they'll give you advice from today till tomorrow, forever, and they'll never volunteer. So you have to ask. And asking for someone who's both a control freak and a caregiver by nature is very hard to do. It's very hard to let go of that. And at least you had your husband.
Thank God for him. And a lot of times he was even better. He had more patience with my mom than I did. And that even bothered me because I felt like she's my mom. I should have patience of a saint. But yet he would deal with her much better than I did. And that bothered me in itself, too.
So you felt guilty about that.
I had a lot of guilt.
Yeah, I mean, it does just build. Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? I should be able to help her more, keep her from declining.
Yes.
But the disease is very unforgiving.
It really is. It really is. And The interesting thing is, some time back when I was much younger, before we even went down this road, I had an opportunity to start a job with this one woman who was going through it with her mom. And I remember, and I felt really bad afterwards, but she said, you know, she can't even remember my name. And I kind of laughed, like, how could your mom not know your name? And I felt so chastised, you know, I felt like I'd really done her a disservice afterwards. And I didn't realize what she was going through until now I had my chapter down the road. And then I realized, okay, that makes sense. Now I get it. And you know, then you start to go through that guilt. Well, maybe I got this because it's karma. I laughed at her, so now I'm getting this, and it's the karma going around. And so then you get that guilt going. And so it's just a constant guilt. That's the hardest part, I think, for caregivers, is just fighting with that guilt. And no matter how many people say, don't feel guilty. Yeah, that's easier said than done.
It's easier said than done.
What about the animosity that you had toward your sister, Katrina?
Oh, I had a lot of animosity, And there were a lot of times that I would tell her, unless you're going to be here to help, I really don't want you here. I mean,
Did she ever come to help you?
We got to the point after a while where I said, you're really going to start getting upset with yourself if you find that later down the road she passes and you didn't have this time to to say your goodbyes or whatever the case may be. So, and plus, we tried to get her to realize, too, that we needed that time. We needed the time just to go to the grocery store or just to go to a movie or whatever the case may be. So we managed to talk her into coming once a weekend, and that was our day out. We had Sunday. That was
it. At least you had that. That's great.
But that was only later down the road. That was like the last year that she was going through the whole process. And even then, she didn't. It was hard for my sister to grasp the fact. Here she was in a wheelchair, and she'd say, well, can't you bring her to my house? What?
No, she didn't get it. She just didn't get it.
And she only lived a half a mile away, so it wasn't that far. Oh. It's not like she was hours away, and that was even more frustrating.
Yeah.
But the one thing that my mom told me that I remembered specifically before she started getting really bad, is she said, I really wish that you and your sister would get along and be able to mend your fences, and that would make me very happy. But that didn't really take place until almost a year, or maybe even 2 years after she passed away. And even now, we're still working on it, but it's much better than it was. By all means, it's much better.
Did either of you feel that you were the favorite growing up?
I would have to say that I was my dad's favorite growing up, and my sister was my mom's favorite growing up.
Interesting.
And she would say no, but I think that she felt that my sister wasn't as strong as I was, so she felt like she had to compensate for that. So she got a lot, I felt at least, that she got a lot more leeway than I did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I look at it, that's kind of what shaped me as an adult and what caused and what helped me, I think, manage to go through this without having a total mental breakdown. Because there were times I felt, I mean, I had breakdowns after breakdown after breakdown, but it wasn't a total mental breakdown because I felt like I still had the support of my husband, and that was huge.
I mean, did you ever get a chance to go on vacation in all the time that she lived with you?
We did the first 3 years or so, and we used to go to Visalia with family for Thanksgiving. And when we went that last time, we realized this isn't going to work because she was trying to go out the door to go to the bathroom, and she was heading out the hallway.
Uh-huh.
And she could have locked herself out if we didn't. And of course, you don't sleep. Because you're like the mother with the newborn. You're listening. Yeah. Is she getting up? What is she doing? What's going on? And even when she was at that point where we thought she couldn't even get out of bed, she was getting out of bed, and she had a hospital bed.
Did she wander?
No, thank God she didn't wander. But here she had this hospital bed, and we'd hear all this commotion and come to find out she's getting out of bed to go to the restroom when she had a catheter in. And it's just, it was just, you. And at that point we thought, well, we've got to leave the door open now. We can't trust that she's going to be in the bed. We thought, okay, we've got the hospital bed. She can't get out. We're good.
And so, you were inserting the catheter?
No, we had the nurse come in at that point, and she helped us deal with it. But we just, it was, I guess the best way I could describe it is, even though you feel like they're protected and now they're in this safe space, it is just amazing how you feel like you see the strength going away, but all of a sudden they get the strength to do something that you're thinking, wait a minute, you couldn't walk yesterday, and now you're getting up to go to the bathroom?
To go to the bathroom, right.
It made no sense to me. And that was another part that was very difficult for me to understand, that even though she looked like she was very weak and not being able to do this, here she was now getting out of bed and being able to do things, and we're thinking, this doesn't make sense. I don't get it.
Wasn't able to do this yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. And we're thinking, oh, good, we're safe. She's in the bed. We're good. And then,
right.
No. Just like a baby, never underestimate them, ever.
No.
Ever.
I'm going through the same thing with my mother-in-law. She also lives in Visalia. 2 hours and 15 minutes away.
Yes.
And we've been trying to get her in a nursing home for a long time because she's been living home alone with dementia. She's in denial about it, and she just she's a danger to herself.
Yes.
Any caregiver that we had living there, she would call the police on like every day. Finally, they just quit because, you know, she's accusing him of stealing this and stealing that. But wanted to ask you about the burnout. Obviously, you experienced burnout, but what do you think were the causes of your initial burnout? I mean, was it the fact that it was so frustrating, you couldn't get assistance for your mother? Was it the fact that your business was going downhill? Was it, you know, you had no time for yourself, you weren't eating right, you weren't sleeping right, all of the above? I mean, how are you seeing that?
I think it was a combination of both, or all of them, I would say. But at the beginning, it was the guilt was the beginning. And going through back and forth and fighting with myself, and then seeing the lack of the control and being able to help or get help. Then going to the support group and finding that I'm doing all the don'ts and not the do's. So I kind of felt like I was being chastised, even though I wasn't. I felt like I was, and that was what I put on myself. And so it was just this accumulation of everything that is just, I felt like piece by piece, somebody was taking a piece here and taking a piece there and taking a piece here till I just had nothing left.
Once you have the list of the do's and don'ts, did that help you?
It did help me to manage better, because like they say with the do's and the don't correct them. Don't, you know, if you say it's Tuesday, no, mom, it's Wednesday, the blah, blah, don't correct them. Don't argue with them. Don't, you just, okay, yeah, sure, no problem, whatever you need. And don't fight with them. I was doing all of that. And I was, the hardest part for me is, I would just get through arguing with her and being really upset. I go into the room and start crying because I thought, how could I treat my mother that way? I come back apologizing, and she'd say, for what? What did you do? She didn't even remember it.
Right.
So it was like, oh my God, I'm killing myself over something that she didn't even remember happened.
And you kept carrying it around.
Yes. Yes.
So what have you learned about guilt? Because now, I don't know if you were always the kind of person who was always feeling guilty and thin skin, people pleaser, enabling
not
people.
Always.
That's totally opposite, huh?
No. I mean, when I was in high school, maybe, but as I got older, all of the lessons that life has thrown at me has definitely given me a shield like a turtle. And I feel that, I mean, and I guess that's part of me too, that's a little hard, is when I hear people complain about things, I think to myself, oh my God, really?
Yeah, you don't know.
Really? Let's talk. Come on, let's talk. I've done this and I've done that. And when you think about your lifespan and everything that's happened in your life, and that you've gotten through it, you know, you're scathed and you're hurt and you're bruised, but you got through it and you're here. It just made me stronger and getting a stronger resolve. And I have to say that after going through all of this, I have a much stronger resolve today than I feel like I have then, just
yeah,
because I
took,
went through this.
You took a giant step backwards in the guilt department with your mother.
Oh, big
Do you
time.
Know why that happened? Was it just because of the dynamic that it's your mother and you know, whatever baggage or issues that women have with their mothers, because they all have issues with their mothers. You know,
well,
my wife does, I'm sure Adrian does. Did it just click something in your head and all of a sudden you were 12 years old again and your mother was treating you like you were 12 years old? I mean, what was it?
I don't think so, because my mom and I got along really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that volatile relationship with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
She was my mentor. She was my rock. And I felt like I was losing my best friend.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that. And I
You're
think
grieving.
The guilt piece was that I was treating her this way when she had done so much for me. That was the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
How could I treat her like this when she'd been there for me when I had my son, when she'd been there for me with, you know, she'd been there this whole time. And here I am treating her in a way that I certainly wouldn't want to be treated that way.
Yeah.
Why am I doing this?
That's the problem with dementia, because your mother or whoever it is becomes a different person. They are not the same person that you remember. They're not the same person that you love. At least they don't look like that person, you know. Obviously, you still love them because they're in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You just can't find them, and they can't find themselves. And so that's probably where all this hidden guilt just showed up on your doorstep, because this has never happened before. This is new.
No,
you
I
know,
mean,
you were never in this position before.
What you just said, Dave, is also the grieving part of it, the lost little bit at a time. Did you wish it was all over, Katrina? Were you also grieving at the same time?
Oh, yeah. I felt like I was grieving over and over and over and over, because I would see this little piece disappear. And then I'd grieve for that. And then I'd see this little piece disappear. And then I would grieve for that. I kind of felt like I went through all these funerals at the same time.
Right.
Because each piece that she lost that I could see, she became less of a person and more of a shell.
Right.
And that was the hardest piece for me, is I felt like Dave said, you know, your mom's in there somewhere, you just can't find her. And I think that was the hardest piece, is you see her, she's there, you can hug her, but she's not there.
Then why would you feel guilty for wishing that she would just die and be out of her misery? Because
you
that
know,
would be the loving thing for you to do.
Yeah, I realize.
You're feeling guilty over it.
I realize that, but, you know, a lot of times, though, when you share these with people, they put
You're
a different
judged.
Perspective on it. Exactly. It is, how could you think that? And she's your mother. And, oh, my God, I had such a horrible relationship with my mom and da-da-da-da-da-da-da that you think,
yeah.
Okay, maybe
they're speaking from ignorance, though. They
yes.
don't know.
No.
You know, so Adrian, would you agree that some things we should not share with others?
Yes.
And how do we determine
I would say you have to find the right place to share it with others. And I mean, I hope that my site is there for people, because it's as anonymous as you want it to be.
Yeah.
You can, you know, you can bitch and moan all you want, and there's a lot of reasons to. And no, there's no judgment, and it's the kind of place that I think caregivers really need, because it's only another caregiver who's going to understand, and it's not necessarily another caregiver who's dealing with someone with dementia. It's any caregiver.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Because I watched my husband change. Even though he was very much the same person, I was grieving a little bit from the moment he got his diagnosis. So I'm sure he was too, but I needed someone else to share that with because I felt I had to be strong for him.
Yeah. And that's the hard part too, that you go through with the guilt as well, is that you have to be that strength. Mm-hmm. And so when you're trying to be strong, when you're not, and your resolve is disappearing day by day,
yeah,
and you're trying to show that strength to people, it just, you can see people seeing through the holes. And it's interesting because the people I networked with then can see the difference from then to now.
Uh-huh.
And they share that with me now, saying that, well, then it's just, you would talk about your business and it would be, I do blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It was like no passion, no interest, no,
yeah.
You know, if I get a client, great. If not, at this point, I'm just going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
To this point today, now I come and I'm fully present as before. I don't think I was. I was there physically, but I think a mental piece of me had turned off and hadn't really dealt with a lot of those issues quite yet.
Right.
And that's the reason why people were seeing the holes through my armor.
That's a very good way of putting it.
I was trying to put up this armor, and the holes were punched through, and they were seeing through that. And I was trying my best to keep building that up, build it up, build it up, build it up, so nobody can see. And that's not easy to do when you're talking with other people and they can start to see that.
You know now, though, that it's okay to have all those holes in your armor.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And, you know, the one thing that it taught me, too, and my husband, that, and I know this may sound bad, but we told each other that if we get to that point, that I want to end it. I don't want to put my family through that. I really don't. It's just, I don't want to go through it. I don't want to put my family through that. So I told my husband, I'll do a call to Dr. Kevorkian and have him come down and help me deal with this. But it's just, I mean, knowing what I know now, we are re-changing and re-looking at, as we age, and how we're going to age, and what we're going to do for each other when we go down that
yeah.
road. Where, what are we going to do for each other, and how are we going to deal with that? And I'm sure as we move forward, and there are more and more people that are caregivers dealing with this, they're going to have, I mean, and
oh,
I know this sounds crass, we can euthanize our animals because they're suffering, but we can't do that for our people? I just don't get it.
It doesn't sound crass at all. Not when we're going through what the crisis that we're going through.
No, and it doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't.
I tell my own kids, you know, if I ever get to be like that, you know, I'll show you where the guns are, making
yeah.
the accident. I was cleaning.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
I'm kidding, but I'm kind of not.
Yeah.
No, I'm kind of not when I say it, and...
You have guns, Adrian?
Yeah, I have no guns. I have no guns.
You better get some guns, fast.
I'm going to be sleeping pills.
To just roll me
That's
off the
true.
Roof. there are a lot of tall buildings in New York. but
it's like that movie, Being Alice. Was that the movie?
Yes, yes.
Right? She hid some pills. And
exactly.
she wrote on the
so
computer, she... Alice... take these pills. And so she was doing it. She almost got done, and somebody walked in the room and they spilled all over the floor. Frustrating.
Yes,
but she really understood the problem.
Yeah.
Because she said it, she set herself up to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And not everybody understands the problem.
No. And I think that's
hard. In the third person on the computer. Alice, I want you to do this,
yeah.
you know.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
how often were you crying in those days? And
Ugh.
And how often were you eating well? And how often were you sleeping well? And...
You know, I did stop to eat because I knew I had to feed my mom. So I would feed myself when I fed her, and I didn't eat a lot, but it was hard to sleep. Sometimes I would toss and turn, and my husband would find me in the guest room just bawling and say, what's going on? I said, I need to get it out. I just need to cry. And he'd say, okay, well, if you need me, let me know. Or I'd be in the shower bawling, or I'd hear a song and I'd start to bawl. I mean, or I'd hear myself getting frustrated and kind of lash out at people when there was no reason to lash out. I didn't like myself. I could hear myself and think to myself, oh my God, I don't even want to be around myself.
Did you shun friends that you used to have, or shun hobbies or interests you used to do? Going to the gym, going to Starbucks, getting your nails done? Was your hygiene disrupted? I mean, what other symptoms?
No, my hygiene wasn't disrupted, but I have to say we went nowhere. For the last three years, we went nowhere.
Mm-hmm. If you had thought of it, or if a friend came by and says, come on, I'm taking you away.
We would have friends that would try and do that, but the guilt and knowing that, well, we got to make sure somebody's here to care for mom, or, you know, it was just, it was hard to go out, in all honesty.
Your husband wasn't there? I mean, he couldn't do that?
He could, and he did a couple times, but the thing is we enjoyed each other's company, and we wanted to be able to both get away together. And that was difficult to do. It was, one had to stay back, and choosing... I have to say, though, that the moments that we did choose to go out were very quality because we had to choose them carefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, who we're watching in those days, you know, are these Caring for Mom or Care.com, or, I mean, where did you find the help?
Like I said, the only I looked online, I did all this research, and like I said, the websites were not very user-friendly. They would point you in one direction and another direction, or you go to a link and then the link was broken and you just see the 404 page. Sorry, it's broken. So nobody was updating these things and nobody was going in and taking the time to make sure that what was there was really there. I would try and get help from the government, couldn't get any of that. The only thing I got was by going to the Senior Concerns and talking to this woman, Betty, right, where I sat down with her and she told me step by step. Here, she gave me a mound of paperwork. Here's this support group. Try this, try that. I recommend this, I recommend that. And I had to do all this homework. And I think that was the hardest part too, is that my brain capacity was at such a limited piece. And now I had to try and figure out, with all this mound of paperwork, what am I going to do with it? What's going to work? What's not going to work? And so I started making phone calls and I started getting out there. And at first my husband started coming to the support groups with me. And after a while he said, you know what? I'm good. You just go. And so I was going by myself, and it was very cathartic because it helped me talk to other people. And plus when you're in a support group, you start to listen to their stories and you think, oh my God,
absolutely,
thank God I didn't have to go through that. Or, oh my God, you know, so yeah. Even though you feel like you're going through hell, you listen to other people's stories and you think to yourself, I'm not alone. Even though you feel like you're on this island by yourself, mm-hmm, and people tell you you're not alone, you still feel alone. You still feel like you're on this island and everybody's wandering around you and you can see life going on around you and you're on this little island going in slow motion and screaming out, nobody can hear you. That's how I felt.
Wow. So would you recommend to other caregivers who maybe are struggling financially to start a home-based business?
You know, it depends on the home-based business, and it depends on how much work it entails, because as we know, with caregiving, it changes, and it depends on who you're caregiving and who that care is going to. And so I think the good thing about my business is that I'd already had it established for the first 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. That was the good thing. And so even though all this went through all this, my clients, there were some clients that still stuck with me and some that went away, which is fine, because as they say, God only gives us what we can handle at that moment. And so it was a good thing that they moved on. And then as I started perpetuating and building, then I could see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. But advice-wise for other people that are caregivers, if they were going to do something, it would have to be something that they could do in their house and not have to really go out that much, because as we know, that's the hardest piece. And And that's hard to do in itself because how do you get clients? You have to network. You have to go out there. You have to advertise. You have to let them know who you are, what you do. So I don't know if it's something they'd have to do, maybe making something in a craft of some sort that they can sell at a fair that's once a month, that they can have somebody come in and watch the person they're carrying and at least make some money on the side. I don't know. It's just,
there's always Etsy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, there are options out there, but the time it takes to invest in it and try and get it going. And when your mindset is over here and not here, it makes it difficult to try and it's something you have to get done beforehand to really get down that. If you're trying to start a business and try and caregive at the same time,
it's tough.
That's not a good, it's just
not
good.
That's a tough fit. Yeah.
No, it's just not.
And it depends on your hobbies and your interests. I mean, if you like to knit, my daughter likes to knit, and she started a business on Etsy knitting, and then it turned into making patterns for things, which, you know, you can sell to a lot more people with
a
lot less work.
So she's a real knitter.
A real knitter. And she can, yeah. I mean, there are knitters when you're watching your loved one, you can knit. Gosh, when you're eating, you can knit. It's kind of weird.
I knit like crazy.
So there's lots of ideas, you know, or if you're good with the internet, with websites, you know, just whatever you're passionate doing, do what you love, and hopefully that would work out. So any last minute things as we wrap it up now that you want to share with people that you didn't, that I didn't give you a chance to speak on?
All I can say, and I know this is going to go to deaf ears sometimes, especially if you're in the muck of it right now, is that the guilt is the hardest piece. And if you can try and work through that guilt, I did a lot of soul searching, a lot of meditating, and a lot of just going into a room with candles lit and just listening to quiet music. And just centering myself so that I can manage to take on whatever is coming my way. And that's that was basically my savior in the respect of getting my brain back on and being able to move forward. And the other thing I can say is try not to feel guilty when you have those thoughts of, God, I wish she'd just die tomorrow, or I wish that God would just take him today. I mean, I just can't deal with this anymore. It's not a bad thing to think that. It's normal, and I found that out later on, that it's normal thought to go through, and it's not something you should beat yourself up for.
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to talk to you and pick your brain about guilt and how to get over the guilt and how to get over other things that maybe they heard you talk about, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way they can get a hold of me is kvaUK4U.com.
KGarcia,
KGarcia, at K as in kitchen, V as in Victor, A as in apple, 4U.com. That's my email address.
Okay. AVA4U. Okay.
Yes. And I guess the best advice I can partake is that I have been using is writing yourself a letter, and it only has to be good things, and you're your own cheerleader, which is sometimes hard to do, and that's what's kind of taking me out of this, is that I write myself, it's like a journal, but I write myself a letter, constantly telling myself, hey, way to go, girl, you did great on this, you did great on that, no worries, you're going to get past this, you're going to get past that. It's like being your own cheerleader.
Writing is important.
Yes. You know,
I tell the story of the letter I wrote to my wife, which was not a nice letter, but I didn't give it to her. And is it healthy to write one of those venting letters to get it out of you, off of your chest, and then stick it in a filing cabinet? That way it doesn't go anymore.
Yeah,
and then you could write those cheerleading letters.
I had a journal where it was my hate journal, where I would write everything I wanted to say to that person, but I never showed it to him. And then I had my other one where I'd write things that were good and positive. So I had both sides.
That's good.
So sometimes you're a good witch and sometimes you're a bad witch.
So true.
So I'm sure there are some people out there, caregivers, that maybe have a website that they need help on. You can help caregivers too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't just help normal people.
No, absolutely. And the, like I said, the easier they can make it, the better.
So maybe they've got something going on their website. You're specialized also now lately into membership websites.
Correct.
And so perhaps they can convert their website into a membership website, and maybe that would be a source of income, because a lot of people's websites are very informative and offer a lot of value.
Information, yeah.
So again, if you have anything that you want to ask Katrina about website design or membership websites, give that email one more time, Adrian, since you wrote it down.
Oh, it's K, initial K, Garcia, G-A-R-C-I-A, at K as in Katrina, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, number 4, the letter U.com.
Oh, yep.
All right. And if you missed any of that, you can always replay this. It'll be recorded. Adrian, how does someone get a hold of you if they realize the value of your small groups and, you know, the aftercare group and the dementia group and the spousal group, and you've got a group for everything?
Not everything.
Yet.
As people need groups, we find out about it. You know, they can start a group. And see if there are other people who join it. You know, it's like with the chats that we'll have on the site. Some people gravitate towards each other. Anyway,
would a valid group, because I'm trying to think out of the box here, be something like how to start a business if you're a caregiver, or we just want to keep it to
No, but that would be in the financial group.
You got a financial group.
Financial problems. God knows there are lots of financial problems.
Yes.
If any of you out there want to start a group in Adrian's thing, and you're a financial person, and Katrina could probably start a group. Who knows?
It's Adrian, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at the caregiverspace.org. The site's thecaregiverspace.org, and all the other media places and stuff to go. Social media is on that. You'll be directed from the site.
So, Adrian, I have a question. Is that groups that are across the board or just in your area?
No, it's international.
Cool.
That's
okay.
A great idea for you, Katrina.
Yeah. I have a resource page, and I always like to give information, and this would be awesome to give to people, because I get that question. I mean, our friends now are starting to go through this and go down that road. So
definitely.
It's good information that I can then pass on to them.
And the website is very much a magazine at this point, with very good articles, and the Facebook page is the page that has all of the groups on it, which are private groups, as well as the one community that's an open group. But because they're private groups, you can say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to give out things like social security numbers or things like that. But it's a safe place.
Safe place
it's
to
a very
share.
Safe space.
Good. That's good to know. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming on. We appreciate it. And again, you can watch this show and all our shows on our membership website, caregiverdave.com. So have a wonderful time. We'll see you next week. Sorry the Facebook Live didn't work out. We tried. I think it's their problem, not mine.
It's okay. You can send the link across.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani.